Let me see. I need to make sure I'm getting this right. Are y'all clapping because the Lord is intentional? Or are y'all clapping because James was singing? Sound like to me. You all have given James the golden microphone. When I preach, Deacon Davis, I don't hear nobody going, "All right, Pastor, all right. Go ahead, Pastor." I heard, "All right, James. Sing, James." I'm not going to like James after this. No, it's too late now. I mean, everybody calling James' name, and I said, "Well, I mean, I wanted him in the choir. I didn't want to take over the church." Amen. He done took over the church. You want to preach now? You want to lift the offering, maybe? Amen. Thank you, James. That was beautiful. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna hurry along here, but I have a note that someone wants me to remind you that voter registration deadline is tomorrow. And so if you plan on voting in the upcoming series of offerings, you need to get registered tomorrow. Now, amen. Sister Brogan said, "No voice, no vote. No vote, no voice." So if you don't vote, you're going to be quiet for about 4 years. And know like I know, it'll be a long 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to prophesy anything, but I'm telling you now, pretty much no matter how it goes, it's going to be a long 4 years.
Yes, sir.
So you might ought to go on screen now. Hit that little lever or slide your little paper or whatever. But please, if you're not registered, get registered tomorrow. Ask your immediate supervisor if you can run down to the DMV or registration office and get that done. And if you're older than 18 in 7 months, you should have been registered. Amen. When you turn 18, that ought to be one of the things you do. Part of your celebration of being grown now is go get registered to vote.
Yeah.
And then start packing your stuff to get out of your mama house because you're grown now. Grandma, you say two grown folk can't live in the same house. So. But please register and find where your voting precinct, polling place is. If not, I think you can go online and find all that stuff. But voting is a good privilege to have. And you really ought to vote. Amen. If you don't know where to go, call somebody. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We've got, I think, Brother Beverly works a lot with the Voters League and Sister Brogan. Pat Price got her hand up. Anybody else with information? Sister Amanda there, Lewis. Oh, we got a lot of folk. Okay, good. So you can see these people, and they'll point you in the right direction. If you live in Amherst or Campbell, wherever you live, you need to register. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Brother, Lord have mercy. My mind went blank that quick. Dr. Corbett, Lady Corbett, good to see y'all again. I always look forward to these third Sundays. Dr. Corbett, he had a real fine gentleman's hat there. Real pretty. Hold it up there, Dr. Cole. That's a real fancy hat there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's a sharp hat there. I saw that when he came in. I said, "Well, now, amen." The gentleman in the hat, you know, that's history, boy. I tell you,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Men with hat, you know, they afternoon ladies and that kind of thing. You know, so it's good to have them with us today. And again, James, you did a fine job. Mm-hmm. You really did. I enjoyed that. And one more thing on a personal note, today is my baby's birthday. Amen. You know, you can certainly understand that you have gotten much older when your children get to the ages that you remember significant things that you did at that age and thought yourself that you were really something. And then your children are that age and you say to yourself, I ain't nothing no more. I'm just old. And so happy birthday to my baby, and wish you many more. Do whatever you want to do. It's your day. But just know that the law is the law. you can get out there if you want to. But enjoy your day. Happy birthday to you. If your birthday is today, I wish you a happy birthday too. I don't know if it might be. You know, people get mad at the preacher, pastor, when he recognizes his family and stuff. But I don't know everything about your family. I know just enough about mine. So I don't mean to ignore your birthday. If your birthday, just send me a little note. I don't mind. People give me notes all the time. So if you want to recognize some anniversary, birthday, get out of jail free card, just put it up here and I'll read it. And it'll be your moment. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Grab your Bibles. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Thank you to the Pinnell family. They gave me a nice little card. Brother Eric gave it to me and said it contained two tickets to the Redskins football game. I told him, well, I'll go if me and you go together. I'll go. I didn't say I'm going to enjoy it, but I'll go. And I opened it, and there wasn't no tickets to the football game, which validates folk will lie even in church. He ought to be up at the altar right now. But thank you, Pinnell family. And I want to also thank the Love Design Ministry of our church for sending your acknowledgments to the Thomas family on yesterday. Sister Ware's mother was funeralized at the Rising Sun Church, and the Love Design Ministry did what loving people do. Thank you so much. And to those who attended the service, thank you. And those who have given a phone call or whatever you've done, I'm very thankful that you represent the kingdom in a fine way. John 12, if you will, and we're going to get right along with it here. John 12 in the New Living Translation of the Bible. I want to just lift up verse 35, Jesus replied, my light will shine out for you just a little while longer. Walk in it while you can, so you will not stumble when the darkness falls. If you walk in the darkness, you cannot see where you are going. Believe in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. The latter part of this, if you have a Bible with the letters of Jesus or the words of Jesus in red, you will notice that the script changes to black. It is John saying to us, beware. The language says, after saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. Now again, listen to what he says. The red letters, the red words are Christ, my light will shine out for you just a little while longer. Walk in it while you can, so you will not stumble when the darkness falls. If you walk in the darkness, you cannot see where you are going. Believe in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
don't ignore the signs.
Don't ignore the signs.
Amen. You may be seated. There is, thank you, ushers, to the Richburg ladies, Sister Marion and Sister Kinsey, thank you. There's a story that is told often of a man who sat upon the roof of his house. Mm-hmm. Fierce storm was in the area, raging. I guess we can relate to that with Matthew having passed through recently. Those of us who have family, friends, or acquaintances anywhere from Haiti to Northern Virginia probably had our concerns pegged a time or two as the storm came through those areas. The death count Haiti continues to rise. Along the coast of Florida, the eye of the hurricane stayed just far enough out, but the rains and the winds were torrential. There were floods. Probably on the United States side, Lumberton, North Carolina seems to have gotten the worst of it. Those of you who've ever traveled along Interstate 95, north or south, have been through Lumberton. And if you sneezed blank your eyes or ate a sandwich, you missed it. But Lumberton is a very small town. It really is. Not much there. I think they consider their resident total a little less than 2,000 folk, kind of, sort of. It's a little farm town, agricultural labor town. But anyway, Lumberton is underwater. And according to CNN just yesterday, they officially declared their last rescue sometime around yesterday morning. And they said, well, this ought to be about it. We think we got everybody. But the story out of Lumberton is that there were people that would position themselves however they could that they might get rescued. Stories are told over and over, making news of people sitting on the rooftops of their houses, waiting for a helicopter or boat or whatever to come and get them. And this story that I'm relating to John 12 is that of the man that sat on his rooftop. It's told that he died and went to heaven. And I always scratch my head about that part, Dr. Corbett, because he ended up in heaven primarily because of foolishness and disobedience. But God is merciful and kind. And it says that when he ended up in heaven, he got a moment of Jesus' time and had the audacity to complain about being in heaven and how he ended up there. Now, again, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When I end up in heaven, I don't care how I got there. I sure ain't going to be complaining about the fact that I'm there.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
But anyway, this gentleman goes and gets some time with Jesus, and he says, Lord, I've got a question. And the Lord says, what's your question? He said, I was on that rooftop waiting on you to rescue me, to save me, and you let me drown. And Jesus, being kind and considerate, says to him, no, I think you got it kind of twisted. I sent you help three times, and all three times you refused my help, and you drowned. And so the moral of the story is that sometimes we ignore the obvious, looking for something spectacular, something mind-blowing, stories told of the fireman that comes in a canoe and another gentleman and thus and thus. And he missed the sign. There's also a story told of a gentleman who was traveling along a winding mountain pass, and sign says, bridge out up ahead. He's thinking to himself, this is a mountain. Where would there be a bridge on a mountain? And he just keeps driving and driving and driving. And lo and behold, he careens off into a river because the bridge is out. He missed the sign. He ignored the signs. Jesus now stands with a group of people. And if you read the story in John's gospel, there's a bit of a traveling transition that's taking place here. And Jesus now has an audience of a few people. He changes into this mode where he says, listen, you ought to realize that I'm only going to be here a little while longer. And I often, Dr. Corbett, I often wrestle with these transitions because, first of all, they spent so much time refusing to believe that he was who he was and that he even came. And then yet when he's saying he's getting ready to go, they don't pay attention to that either. But anyway, Jesus says to them, well, I'm not going to be here much longer, so you're going to have to make a decision about the light. And you're going to have to decide very quickly because darkness is coming. There are three aspects of the ministry of Jesus that I think we ought to all pay attention to, and I'll be done. You can go and do what you're going to do. But the first thing to understand is that there are always signs.
Yeah.
And you, those of you who are Bible students, and it appears right now to be only about six of y'all, but the Bible student knows that there were often, if you will, people asking him about signs. They would say to him, well, how will we know?
Yeah.
And what will be the indicator? Which really offers to us the insight on the proclivity we have of procrastinating. We love to procrastinate. Amen. Ain't nobody saying nothing. We love to wait, as it were, to last minute. We love to look for some indicators. We'll drive our car till the warning light comes on and then ignore the warning light. And then when it breaks down, say, I didn't know that was going to happen. We'll be in a building. I was in Nashville, Tennessee some years ago in a hotel, and the fire alarm went off. It was about 2:30 in the morning, sleeping good, and the fire alarm went off. So I grabbed my shorts and a shirt and some flip-flops, and I headed to the fire escape. When I came out of my room, I mean, it's a piercing sound. So when I heard that, I didn't look around and try to sniff the snot. I didn't feel a door other than on my way out, but I grabbed some short breeches and a shirt, put my flip-flops on, went out the door, went down the hallway, and people looking out. Walking by people just looking, you know, I'm on my way out the building. I was on the 8th floor, and I was in a real hurry going down all them stairs, all the way down. And the funny part was, I was the only one in the fire escape, and only one in the firewall going down, and got all the way downstairs. And when I got in the lobby, people just there. I went straight outside, went across the street. It was a liquor store across the street. It was closed, but that parking lot I ended up in, I figured the building on fire, this would be a good place to be found right here. But that's what was across the street. I didn't put it there. It was there, but it was across the street. And I've been told that if it's a fire, you get away from the building,
yes,
go across the street, and the firemen will come. So I went across the street. Now, here is it's a hotel, big hotel in Millennium Hotel. There were 20 people in that parking lot. The lights going, the little things blinking. And ain't nobody, when I came, I was like about the third one in the parking lot.
And you know, a few people come across, weed, weed, weed. And so we stand there saying, this can't be the only people in the hotel. I said, I know that. Because the team that I was on, that's 40 people right there. I'm standing in the parking lot. It's a little chilly out there, but I ain't going to burn up.
Right.
They ain't going to have to rescue me.
Right.
I don't know if it's a fire or not, but I know the fire alarm went off. And yeah. I've been told that when the fire alarm go off,
you
need to get out the building.
Yes, sir.
And the thing just going and going. Ain't nobody else coming out. So we stand over there, and people, now the alarm still going on. People going back in the hotel because they don't see no smoke. Every fire don't have a whole lot of smoke.
Right.
I'm saying, the guy looked at me and said, you going back in? I said, no, I'm going to stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I don't see no smoke. We'll go right on out with your happy self. We ignored the sign. All of those people would have died.
That's right.
Looking for smoke. You know, the alarm has gone off.
Right.
So the next morning, go downstairs and we're in the breakfast lobby, breakfast area full of people. Guy said, man, you heard that alarm go off last night? I said, mm-hmm. He said, man, I rolled up and went back to sleep. I said, you a fool.
Mm-hmm. Tell him again.
He said, what you do, Doc? I said, I put on my shorts and a T-shirt, my flip-flop, and went across the street. He said, Doc, you're crazy. I said, no, you're crazy.
Right.
I ain't see no smoke. They ain't make no announcement. What announcement? The alarm is the announcement.
Yeah.
Amen.
I went on across the street in the liquor store parking lot. I don't ignore signs.
Right. Good word, Pastor. Good word.
If you are a Christian, you can't ignore the sign. Jesus says, Jesus says, pay attention here. I'm only going to be here a little while. And then John says, after he says that, he is whisked away. In other words, I think what John is saying is, Jesus is trying to show y'all that he ain't playing. That if you're going to react, you need to react now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got people walking up down the street right now, sitting in their cozy homes on a nice fall morning. Some of them are on our discipleship roles, just ignoring the signs.
Yeah.
Jesus says, it ain't going to be long.
Yeah.
My grandmother and those dear old ladies who would sit on the porch, they would talk about signs. In summertime, when the weather is nice and warm, and it's an Indian summer or something like that, you know, and then when the fall would come and it's still warm, one of the old ladies said, you know, they said you won't be able to tell the seasons. That'd be a sign. And so it is. There's always a sign, but what are you going to do with the sign?
Come on, Pastor.
Jesus says that the light is going out. And it's going to be dark. And when darkness comes, you won't be able to navigate. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to transition without falling. What Jesus is saying, falling here, is not about the tripping kind fall. It is about missing heaven. It is about missing God. It is about going to hell when you could have walked in the light and found your way to heaven.
Come on, Pastor.
There are three aspects to understanding. I'm done. Jesus' ministry is wrapped around three things that we ought not never miss the sign. One is welcome. Jesus has always been about welcome. Come unto me, he says. He says, come and I'll make you fishermen. He says, come and learn. It's about welcome. And we like welcome. If you ever been anywhere and you haven't been welcome, you don't want to stay there. Anybody ever been somewhere and you didn't feel welcome? You don't want to stay there. You ever go somebody and you come to their house, they expect you to come and you pull up in the yard and you see them looking out the window or you see them sitting there and they don't welcome you, you go, they acting funny.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me.
Yeah.
But if they get off the porch and go, hey, oh, y'all made it.
Amen.
How was your trip?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all come on in, leave them bags in the car. Come on and rest y'all feet. Get out of them shoes and come on, let's sit. You feel like all right now.
Yes.
Jesus' ministry is about welcome. Jesus says, come and I'll show you some things. Come and follow me. Come and listen to me. But he's always got his arms out. How many of you have seen those portraits of Jesus with his arms out? You never see a portrait with Jesus standing there like this. You never see a Jesus who has a disconnected look. You never see a Jesus who has a look of being disconsolate or out of sorts. And whenever you see Jesus among the people, he seemed to have the people's interests at heart.
Well,
when they showed up at that big rally, I don't know what 5,000 people doing out in the middle of a field in the middle of a day when people ought to be working and doing stuff, but they show up and there are 5,000 men besides women and children out in the middle of nowhere with no lunch. No food trucks, no festival. And the apostles and Jesus are on their way. I don't know why they didn't pay attention to them, because if I see 5,000 folk, I'm just going to wave and keep going. But they take an interest, but only in the basic sense of their ability, when Jesus takes an interest based on his super ability. They hijacked that little boy's lunch. That little boy wasn't mad, bothered nobody. That little boy was on his way down to the creek, probably do some fishing. And the apostles took that boy lunch. They took, yes, they did, Lady Ava. That little boy was just helpless. He couldn't defend. They ain't take no grown man food. They took that little boy lunch. And you know that the little boy didn't get fed. You know why? Because he was running home to tell his mama. That's why you ain't hear from him no more. He said, all right, they took my lunch. I'm going to tell my mama. Okay, y'all ain't got no sense of humor. But they took it, and then the Lord, he took the lunch from them who took the lunch. Because Jesus knew that in y'all hands, that's a little boy's lunch.
Well,
but if I touch it, y'all ain't talking to me. How many know that this is just a sidebar blessing? Before you start dividing what you have, let Jesus touch it first.
Yes, sir.
Those of you who are worried about your income and worried about issue,
yes,
let
sir.
Jesus touch it first.
Yes,
before you go back to the doctor's office, I ain't got nothing against Dr. Corbin and his practice, but before you go into his office, you ought to stop by Jesus' office first. Before you go down there and file bankruptcy, you ought to go by Jesus' office first.
Yeah.
Nudge your neighbor and tell him, before anybody else touch it, you better let Jesus touch it first.
Yes, sir.
Because when Jesus touch it, he'll multiply. What was minimized becomes maximized.
Yes,
what was for an individual can feed a whole community,
yes,
but you got to let him touch it first. And there it is. They feed all these people. But notice how Jesus is so welcoming. He doesn't walk away from and say, listen, we cool, let's just go. But he's always got the people's interest in heart. Jesus has always been welcome. He said, and listen, I'm willing to welcome you to the point that if you got something heavy, I'll take it. And I'll give you what I got, and mine is a whole lot easier to navigate. How many of you can just wave back at me that the Lord has done a faithful exchange with you, that some of the stuff you were carrying and weighing you down, the Lord took it off your back, gave you a light transition, and said, now you run on, I got this. Jesus said, don't worry about the doctor. Don't worry about the lawyer. Don't worry about the heartaches. You just go on and enjoy. Go on and get you some rest. I'm going to be up all night anyway. You might as well get some sleep and let me handle this, because you can't do nothing with it anyway. How many know that no matter what you're trying to do, you can't do it by yourself? You're going to need God to get in it before you can get out of it. Look at your name and say, if you let him in, he'll get you out. So welcoming. He's so welcoming. Then He says, and you look like you're kind of tired. You've been running a long time, and so he's so welcoming, and he says, you can come and be with me. Jesus illustrates to us the welcome when he said, listen, you might not have wanted me, but I wanted you. And I came after you because I really care about what's happening in you and with you. And then the other aspect of the ministry that we ought not overlook is that Jesus' ministry comes with wisdom. Yeah, wisdom comes. The ministry is with he said, listen, you got to learn the meaning of scripture. Amen. Y'all ain't saying a whole lot. The wisdom. Listen, you don't have to be dumb your whole life. Amen. You were born dumb. You didn't know nothing. But you don't have to be dumb your whole life. Paul says that I have a great concern for my brothers, for my family, for the fellowship of my community, my constituency, those people who go to church with me. He said, I don't want them to be ignorant concerning the things of God.
Well,
can I tell you something? Listen, your worldly wisdom and intellect is fine for trying to get a job, trying to get a promotion, trying to get a boyfriend or girlfriend, or trying to get, but it ain't gonna do nothing for you when it comes to going to heaven if you don't have godly wisdom. And God, y'all ain't talking to me. You need to know the word of God. You need to do what Paul told Timothy. You got to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to study and show yourself approved. You got to pick up your Bible, not just to read a scripture to get out of some things or to get over some things. You got to read that word so you can get in the body of Christ. You got to study the word of God so that you can have spiritual intellect. The Bible says, let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. Nudge your neighbor and tell him wisdom. You need wisdom. His ministry was about wisdom. So that the people would know him. And when you know him, you can live like him. I've said it since I've been here that it's a shame that we live beneath our privilege. Because we don't know what we ought to know about God. Come here, David. David said, I found out real early that the Lord is my shepherd. I found out real early that the Lord would hear and answer me. In fact, David said, I want to be so close to him that I am in the intimacy with him. I have a relationship with God. I want to know him personally. I want to know how he thinks. I want to know how he operates. I want to know how he shifts and how he slides, how he transitions. He said, I need to know those things so that when I talk about him, I know what I'm talking about. When I talk to him, I know what I'm talking about. When I hear from him, I know. Anybody ever had the phone ring, somebody called you, and all you have to do is hear that voice and know who it is. You don't have to say, who is this? Soon you hear that voice, you know who that is. And when you know who that is, and you know who called you, you know how the conversation gonna go. Come on and talk back to me. Everybody, listen, everybody we meet at the gossip fence ain't at the gossip fence. There are some people that call us every day to get the update and drop the 411. Come on, talk back to me. As soon as they get on the phone, you put your feet up. Well, let me get comfortable. Child, I'm so glad you called. You ain't heard. And it goes, come on, talk back to me. Because you know who that is. Am I right about it? There are some people that call you. You say, well, what you want? What you calling here for? Can I help you? Come on, talk to me. David said, no, me and God ain't like that. I got wisdom. I know who God is. When God calls, I know what we're going to talk about. When God is speaking, I know who I'm listening to. And so it is. The wisdom of God is a part of the ministry of God. Then the third piece of the ministry is that there is welcome, there is wisdom, but there's also a warning. And that's where we are right here. And I'm about done. The warnings are often the parts that we overlook the most. The welcome is fine. It really is. Deacon Walker, the welcome is fine. It's wonderful to know that the Lord will welcome us. You know, we sang that song. He will welcome me. Yeah. And we dance and we dance. You know, we dance. Oh, that's just fine. And he will. In fact, in the book of Peter, he said that when we die and we've transitioned, we shall be met with a rich welcome when we get to heaven. Amen. I really believe that when we die and when the day comes that we are all going to meet the Lord, I think it'll be like just a big parade and folk that's going to be going down ticker tape, you know, and they're going to be throwing ruffles and flowers and folk going to be welcoming. We're going to be waving our little, you know, some of us going to be riding in our little Bentley in heaven and we're going to be waving, you know, a little convertible. You don't want to go to heaven in a four-door coupe, in a sedan. You want a convertible so you can sit on the back and wave at people. And you know, some of us going to be saying, if anybody make it, surely I will. We're going to be waving, you know, and then when you get to the end, you're going to get in the line so that other people come. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about that who are these? These are they. And all it's going to be is everybody who get to the end, then they're going to get in line. And then they're going, and that just going to keep going and going for all eternity. It just going to be a continual, and they're just going to keep on coming. And those of us who know how to be appreciated are going to appreciate other people. So when we get to the end, we're going to get out our little Bentley, let it go around and pick up somebody else, and then we're going to be waving at the next people. But that's going to be the rich welcome that we get in. The streets are paved with gold, and you know, people are going to be putting on their little slippers and their robe and all that kind of stuff, and that's just going to be fine. That's going to be fine. But then the wisdom is critical, because wisdom is wonderful, because if you don't know nothing, you ain't going to do nothing.
Well.
And if you don't know nothing, you can't say nothing. See how quiet y'all got right there? I said, if you don't know nothing, you can't say nothing.
Well.
See how quiet y'all got right there? You got to know something to say something. What are you saying? It's in the Bible, Eric. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord
say
something. See, y'all ought to always be saying something. Listen, if you've been through what you've been through and God has done what God has done, you can't let nobody get you to shut your mouth. Listen, Mama and them used to sing that song, said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I told y'all before. Listen, I grew up in a church's law where they used to send the ushers to make people sit down. People would start testifying and jumping them down, and we trying to move on in the service. Poor preacher there, all right now. All right, praise the Lord. All right, daughter, bless the Lord. No, that sister just steady going. And then another sister said, I ain't going to let her outdo me. So I've been through the same hell she been through. Let me get on up here. And next thing you know, it's contagious. It starts breaking out. You got a hell of a praise here and a hell of a... And before you know it, the preacher be all right. But y'all just... Any of y'all ever been in a service where the preacher let just like a little jack in the box? He sit down. He think it done calm down. He get back up and not done it. They take... Why? Because the redeemed of the Lord got something to say. We can't hold it. We can't keep out. Y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all ain't shouting like I thought you would. You can't keep it to yourself what the Lord has done. You just got to let somebody know that he brought me out again. He lifted me up again. He delivered me again. I know I was up here last week with the same story, but it ain't the same situation. But it's the same God. It's not the same circumstance, but it's the same God. It's not the same trial, but it's the same God. And after all he's done for me, how dare you ask me to sit here? How dare you ask me to shut my mouth? God has been good to me. I just got to tell him thank you one more time. I just got to wave at him one more time. I just want to jump up and down one more time, because the Lord has been good to me. He stirs me. He shakes me. He rattles me. I can't sit here and hold my peace. If the rocks cry out, that's a shame. But I don't need no rock crying out. I gotta tell him how much I appreciate him. I gotta tell him how far he's brought me. I gotta let him know that I love him, because the Lord is. My hope is still built on nothing less. I still believe can't nobody do you. I still believe that he's a bridge over troubled water. I still believe I can't sit here and hold my peace. You can hold my mule, but you can't tape up my mouth. I want to shout about something all my life. I've been told what I can't do. I ain't going to church and be told what I can't do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to bless his holy name. I'm going to declare his righteousness. I'm going to lift up and magnify him. I'm going to shout my way out of it. I'm going to shout my way through it. Because the Lord has delivered me. Whom the Lord has delivered. It's just something about that name. So it is. There's some wisdom to that. Being able to tell your story. Because you know. Amen. Because you know. The Bible said, let redeemed of the Lord say so. Sometimes, Dr. Corbett, I wonder if the church has any redeemed folk left in it. Well, ain't nobody saying nothing. So, see how y'all rolling your eyes at me? It doesn't say wait for the chord on the keyboard. Grandma put it this way. Grandma didn't say when harmony sing or when James sing or when Stacy sing or Audrey sing, grandma didn't say when the preacher get to hollering a little bit. Grandma didn't say when my money come in right. Grandma didn't say when the doctor say I'm all right. Grandma didn't say when my family get together. Grandma put it this way: every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he, I gotta get up. I gotta say something. Every time I think about it. And I don't have to think about it when the choir's singing. I may think about it during the offering. I may think about it during meditation. But when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all. Look at your neighbor and tell him every little bit of it matters. Everything he done for me. When he woke me up, it mattered. When he laid me down, it mattered. When he paid my bills, it mattered. When he got me out of jail, it mattered. When he kept me out of that wreck, it mattered. When he went to the doctor's office, when cancer came, when my blood pressure was high, when my diabetes was out of order. Every time I think, the church I grew up in, they used to get up and say, Reverend, I don't mean to prolong the service, but I can't get out of here today without letting the Lord know that I appreciate what he done for me. I can't sit here and hold myself together. Every time I think about it. Some wisdom to that. Them that know ought to say something. So them that learning will know how we do it. I never forget, I'm about finished. I'm going to let y'all go. I'm about finished. When I was a little boy, I used to sit there with my grandmother. And they get to jumping up down, shouting. My grandmother came to church to shout. My grandmother, as soon as she got to church, would put her little flats on. Mm-hmm. She wore loose-fitting clothing. She would check to see if she had enough room. No. I heard her say one time, "Well, I can't wear this because I can't shout in this." Oh, I heard her. She'd be back there getting dressed on Sunday morning. She said, "Oh, no, these ain't my shouting shoes right here." She carried a little shouting shoe because she, listen, Mamie Perkins Williams is going to shout. And she said, "And if you sit by me and mess around and get hit, don't worry about it. Because she gonna throw a hand back first." That's her first sign. We knew grandma's call sign. My grandmother liked poker. She had a tail. First thing you'd see her doing, she'd start doing this. Them little short, stubby hands, little fat self, she'd do this. And if you sit right there, you might ought to do this. The next thing she'd do is she start rubbing her ears. And next thing you know, it's woo, 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 and then she get up, and then she woo, woo, and that you just okay. And be careful because my aunt Patience is over here. She done started now because sister done started, and you get caught between them two praises, you gonna have to learn how to praise. And so here's my point. I'm about done. We got home one Sunday, and I said, "Grandma, why you be doing that?" And my grandmother was a wise old bat. She don't mind. She ain't here to do nothing about it anyway. No, I'm just kidding. But she was wise. She said, she knew what I meant. She didn't say what that. She knew. I said, "Grandma, why you be doing that?" She said, "Baby, keep living." She said, "Just keep living." And I said to her, "Grandma," I made another observation. I've looked at her. I said, "Grandma, how come men don't shout like women do?" She said, "Let me tell you something. Men are hard nut to crack." She said, "But every now and then," she said, "that the one that God don't crack, he'll break." And she said, You look out for a broke Negro in the Lord. And every now and then, when you see a man, as we say back home, go in, oh, God have mercy. When a brother get happy, the whole church set on fire. It's something about, all it takes is one brother. And all, and listen, them sisters start going with him because they know he broke. And listen, I noticed something, little Lola, when a man go in, the usher don't bother him. They'll step back and say, let him go. Leave him alone. He need that. I never forget it. One Sunday, about three or four of the deacons, and we say got happy. And we didn't get out of church for 6 months. Them deacons got happy. And Reb stood up and said, back up, let them go. And them brothers went to jumping and flipping. This was in the 70s. But I swear we saw the future of what breakdancing was going to look like. Them men folk praised God. And so the redeemed don't always have something. Always. That's just them that know ought to show. Come on, talk to me. You sitting around here trying to act like God ain't done nothing in your life. I'm here to tell you right now, I know he done something. I'm looking at you and know he done something. Don't make me tell what I heard about you, but I'm telling you now, wisdom says that concerning the things of God, the redeemed of the Lord ought to be God's spokesperson. Here it is. Last thing, warning. I was trying to tell you about warning. Warning. The welcome, absolutely that. The wisdom, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. And out of the mouths of them, I'm taking up too much of your time. The last thing is that there's a warning. And that's where we are, Dr. Corbett. Jesus is saying, y'all better pay me some mind here. My grandmother, again, I love that old lady. She said, you know, when she get real frustrated with Lady Ava, she say this, I can show you better than I can tell you. And she said stuff like this, play with me if you want. And Jesus is saying the same thing. Jesus said, I can show you better than I can tell you. Notice what John says immediately. John says, as soon as Jesus says this, he gone. And the key to the text is he was hidden from them. Now, here's what you need to understand. I'm done. To hide means I did it. To be hidden, somebody else hid me. Y'all missed it. It didn't say Jesus went and hid. It says he was hidden. In other words, God said, okay, son, you said what I want to say. Now let me show them how this thing gonna go down. The light was hidden, which means now darkness has come. And that which is hidden that did not hide itself cannot loose itself. Y'all ain't talking to me. In other words, until the Lord let him come back, he ain't coming back. Y'all ain't talking to me. The Lord was caught up, taken up. Listen, it didn't say he volunteered up. It says he was taken up. And so God has hidden him from us. And now that he has been hidden, we are in darkness. And you should have went to the light when the light was available. You should have took the welcome of God. You should have used some wisdom of God. And now that the warning has come to pass, you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself. You stand here wondering why darkness is all around you. Darkness in your marriage. Darkness on your jaw. Darkness in your finance. Darkness in your health. You should have came to the light when the light was calling. No, when you in the light, you too busy partying, spending your money, having impromptu cookouts because you got a little check back and then tithe one penny. You didn't go to church on Sunday because you were drunk up from Saturday because you was in the light. You and your homies and your friends, y'all was just having a good old time. And then when all hell broke loose, when darkness came, you wondering why ain't nobody. No, ain't going to be nobody coming to your rescue because you didn't take the warning. You ignored the sign. Jesus said, you better learn. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees. No, they're saying, Dr. Dixon, Dr. Kobe, I know y'all know, but I'm going to tell them. What Jesus is saying is when your life get fat and you blowing up, you better pay attention. Just because you hearing all this stuff about he ain't coming, ain't no God, y'all got time, the Lord ain't going to kill nobody. That's the yeast that's going to get y'all killed. Jesus said there are false messiahs, false prophets. You running all over the country to all these prophetic meetings and you going up under everybody's apostleship and they telling you how wonderful your life is and don't go to these churches where they preaching hell and fire. God ain't too loving to do that. That's the yeast that's going to get y'all killed because the Lord said, I'm telling you, don't listen to that foolishness. I'm coming with vengeance. I'm coming with a sword. I'm coming with my wrath. And when I come, I ain't taking no favors. I ain't going to hear no whining. I don't want to hear no excuses because you had plenty of time. And now that you missed your moment, I'm cutting and cleaning all over the land. I'm warning you. Get right with God. And do it. He said, it ain't but a little while. Ain't gonna be long now. The light gonna be gone. And I don't have no control over that switch. Don't be running to me trying, Pastor, help me. I ain't gonna help you. I'm be too busy getting my stuff together. Amen. Don't be running up to my house. I'll be gone. Bible says when the rapture comes, folk that's going to be shh. Don't be running up here tonight. They're going to have Bible study tonight. No. Not on that night, no. We gone. Amen. We ain't going to have time to turn the lights out. Bible says folk going to be, some going to be in the field. Some going to be on a rooftop. Some going to be at a wedding ceremony. You know, Dr. Corbett, every time I do a wedding, I keep looking up. Figure, Lord, come. You know, because that's what you say to someone. I say, well, Lord, it'd be a good day. I'm at a wedding. I'd be waiting on the chandelier to start swinging or something, you know. Don't come running after me. Talk, Pastor, preach to me right quick. Pastor, give me a scripture. Pastor, give me a word. I'm going to give you a word. Bye. See ya. He said, don't miss the sign. Don't ignore the warnings. He says, don't you see the times? Don't you see what's happening? The light is going to be taken. Ain't going to be no hope for you. And the Bible says that there is a season of torment. See, some people think, well, once I'm dead, I'm dead. Oh, no. No, that eternal death is forever. Let me see if I'm done. Anybody ever stub your toe? You know, walk through the house, and hit your toe, and you know, you cuss out the furniture and try to move it. Who put this here? You did. Who moved this table over? I done walked by that table 50 years. Somebody moved it. Them prints in the rug still there. That table ain't moved. But you know how that hurt? And you know, I mean, you know, when the older you get, the longer it hurts. You know, it's something that hurt. You kind of like shake it off and go, woo. Well. But that kind of make you go sit down. Doing damage assessments. You know, you tell yourself, I'm diabetic. I can't be stubbing my toe. I'm around lose this toe. You know. But you know how long that hurt? And then like 2 or 3 days later, somebody said, what happened? Yo, child, I hit my foot on that table. When last year? And that still look like that. You come to church with one Louis Vuitton shoe and that boot, and you're going to try to dress that boot up to make it look like something? That thing lingering a while, you know. You know what I'm talking about. And then finally, you know, it started to ease up a little bit. And right then, just about time to get better, somebody step on it. You go, God. Well, you know how long that is? Multiply that times 1,000 for the rest of your eternal death. That pain ain't going nowhere. Bible said there will be weeping and gnashing. You know, gnashing means you just grinding your teeth down. Can you imagine? How many of y'all have been around somebody crying and tried to help them stop crying? Put your arm around them and say, come on now. In hell, with that eternal, that you ain't going to be able to stop. And let me tell you why. Ain't going to be nobody trying to stop nobody from crying. Because everybody going to be crying. See, you the people who trying to help you stop crying ain't crying. Or they done got over, you know, said, come on now. The Lord going to get us through. You know, no, down there, because you ignored the signs. And here's what I love about it. Read the Bible very carefully. The Bible shows that God has a way of kind of needling you a little bit. The Bible gives us every indicator that the folk in hell are going to be able to look up and see us in heaven. Bible said they're going to look up. And I'm telling you, I know I'm going to get in trouble in heaven. Because as soon as I see somebody I know looking, I'm going to go, hey, you ain't knowing the sign. Bible said, Leroy, you don't get over here. I'm sorry, God. I just thought I'd, you know, do a little ministry. Don't ignore the signs. God's going, he'll welcome you. He offers you wisdom. You know how you make a good decision? Good information. Isn't that what he said? He said, listen, go back and warn. He said, they got good information. They got the preachers. They go to church right now. Go back and he said, oh, they got the preachers. Good information is being broadcast on Wednesday and Thursday. Old saying, Dr. Corbett, I used to tell my soldiers, use your head for more than a hat rack. Put something up here. Don't play with God on this matter. And then his last piece, I was going to give it to you, I'm done. But there's a welcome on the front. There's wisdom. There's warning. But there's another welcome. Because those of us who make it going to hear him say, come on home. Welcome. Well done. You've done faithfully. And I'm telling you now, when I see him, I'm going to run. I'm going to run. And I'm running straight to his arms. Because I want to feel him. Put his arms around me. You know that old song they used to sing? If anybody make it, surely I will. He'll welcome me. Gotta get ready to go. Let's make a decision today. God bless you. You'll stand with me. I'll stand with you. There are three things you need to realize. You're going to have to, and I'll let you go. You're going to have to come out. Come out, yes, come out of the darkness. How many of you have ever hid in the dark? Amen. Name the three of us. Man, when you play in the house, you always found a dark place. Lady Ava, I'll never forget. My aunt, Lottie Mae, had a big old house. A lot of hiding places. And we were children, you know, we'd go over there. And you know, when you're a child and your mom and daddy gonna be the longer your mom and daddy gonna be gone, the meaner the person house they take you to. You know, mom and daddy gonna be gone a couple of hours, they let you go to somebody who, you know. Well, my mom and daddy, if they were gonna be gone maybe a day or so, we stayed with my Aunt Velma Lee. Velma Lee gave you these big peanut butter sandwiches. made the sweetest diabetic tea in all of South Florida. She let's do anything. My Aunt Velma Lee say, y'all going outside. You kill your fool self, it's on you. She never looked out the door. You know, she, on time Aunt Velma Lee comes to the door, if she hears somebody saying, get out of there, you know, she said, what y'all doing over there? Get on back over here. She gone back in the house. So if mom and them going to show you Velma Lee. If mom and them going to be gone like 3 or 4 days, we stayed with my Aunt Vertel. She was a little stricter. You know, my Aunt Vertel was afraid my daddy would kill her if something happened to us. As soon as my mom and them leave, she said, look, don't y'all let, don't run over here. Mom and daddy come back here. Y'all all broke up and stuff. They're going to blame me. So y'all just go back there and you know, don't tell up nothing, you know. So. But they're going to be gone. My Aunt Lottie May. My Aunt Lottie May. Woo, look at here. Ain't no way that woman getting into heaven. She ran everything in the church and her mouth. But if she get in, anybody can get in. But anyway, we go to my Aunt Lottie. She had this big house. And lot, so because she wouldn't let us go outside, we played a lot of in-house games. And hide and go seek was the best one. And she had these rooms that I don't know who had ever been in there. I don't know if she ran a child slavery camp or something. But all these, no, I mean, wasn't nobody but her, my Uncle Charlie and my cousin Vera. Why y'all got all these rooms? But anyway, we'd hide. So one time we playing hide and go seek. And I was good at hiding. I liked to hide. And so I went in this room and found this little door that was in the back of the closet. You know, that's the first time I'd ever seen that. You know, who puts a little door in the back of a closet? So I'm thinking, okay. So I opened the little door. And it was dark in there, but we hiding. So I thought, oh, they ain't going to find me in here. So in the little door I went. And you know, I felt my way through, you know. Closed the little door behind me. Settle down real good. Control your breathing. You know when you're high, you got to control your breathing. And boy, let me tell you something. The ambient temperature in that little room was just conducive for a good nap. I fell asleep. They stopped looking for me, I don't know, maybe a week earlier, I don't know. All I know is by the time I came out, my shoes didn't fit. My clothes had drawn up on me. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I fell asleep. And the little room was so secluded, I didn't even hear. You know how in some part of how you can hear people? I couldn't even hear nobody. And I slept. And you know when you wake up somewhere and you don't know where you're at? And when you wake up in a dark place, there's no natural light, I panic. I start screaming, hey, y'all, help. Now, stupid me, all I do is really grab the little door. I couldn't find the door. And I knew I didn't want to move too far. Man, I'm screaming, and nobody heard me. So I start kicking stuff. My uncle heard this noise. So he, you know, he going to the house. And you know, when you hear no, you don't go, who is that? You thinking it might be something going on. So you walking through with Jay Clement. And so finally, they came in the closet. And I'm kicking, help! I'm crying, help! Everybody, come and get me! It's Michael! I'm in the closet! Oh, I was done. Oh, man, I hadn't gone to the bathroom once, twice. My uncle, he eased a little door, you know, a little light came in. I said, help! So he pushed the door, and, you know, typical Southern uncle, the first thing he said is, what and and I got cussed out. He said, get out of there! Sometimes you hide so good that they stop looking for you. stay hid. But I made a vow that day. I said, you know, I ain't playing hide and seek no more. Now, of course, I lied. I didn't hide that. Riding around Dr. Corbett looking at revivals and listening to people. Ain't nobody coming. Ain't nobody coming. People hide. We hiding under gay marriage laws. We hiding under I'm not going to give the church my money. We hiding under I don't want nobody in my business. We hiding under well, I don't want nobody talking about me. We just hiding, and then when somebody die, we want to bring them out into the light and have a grand soiree over somebody who done hid right out of heaven and gonna end up in hell. We hiding under what used to be. Well, I used to go, but I just got so much. Come on out of there. And then you got to come in. You got to come in. Come in, come into the light. Come into the light. Y'all remember Poltergeist with Carol Ann? Little old soothsayer woman. Know where they found that little bitty woman. And she confused them. Y'all remember, you remember the movie? First she said, don't go into.